Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Philip Bryson spent an academic career actively researching socialist economic theories and thought. He published many articles in academic journals and papers and collections on topics of socialism. In retirement, he became concerned that the U.S. was moving toward socialist economic policies and a whole new generation was being indoctrinated into socialist viewpoints. He's now published materials for a general audience in hopes that people will learn how to look beyond the appealing objectives of socialism to see the hazards accompanying the attempt to implement a socialist system. Philip is the author of Socialism, Origins, Expansion, Decline, and the Attempted Revival in the United States. His book is an attempt to address all the important economic aspects of socialism. He took courses in Marxism as an undergraduate, studied comparative economic systems, then went on for a Ph.D. in economics at Ohio State, became a professor at the University of Arizona, where he taught economic systems and international trade and finance as well. 20 years later, transferred to the Marriott School at Brigham Young University. Over that 40-plus years career, he has researched socialist systems, spent sabbaticals and research time living in West Berlin, in communist East Berlin, Germany, Vienna, London, and Moscow. And with us on This Week in America, Dr. Philip Bryson, author of Socialism, Origins, Expansion, Decline, and the Attempted Revival in the United States. Dr. Branson, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
This is such a fascinating topic that you break down for us with all of the experience, research, including time study that we'll talk about in the program overseas. What inspired you to write this book? Why did you feel this book, Socialism, was really needed at this time?
Well, I had been in socialist countries and talked with students at American universities and read the newspapers and listen to the news. So I was aware about the time that President Obama was elected that there was a substantial movement, and it was announced in the news that millennials in this country, a majority of them, feel that a socialist system would be an improvement over what we currently have. My experiences in socialist countries showed me a picture that is not available to people who are just hearing the talk and the rhetoric of idealists. It made me worried about the kind of country that my grandchildren would have and that their grandchildren would have. So I initiated a four-year project. This book was the result of it. And I had been already familiar with a lot of the ideas and most of the history of the economic thought. And so I knew what I was getting into, but it still took 4 years to put the whole thing together. And it covers many, many of the aspects, technical, political, economic, social, philosophical ideas of socialism.
Any questions you have will be addressed in this book, Socialism. That's why the book is doing so well, because of the thoroughness of the research, the knowledge of the author, Dr. Philip Bryson, his websites. And I'll give you this throughout the program. You can get information on this book and other aspects of socialism, and you'll be able to order there as well. BrysonKnowsSocialism.com, and Bryson is B-R-Y-S-O-N. Socialism's Issues Revealed.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places, pageturner.us as well. And we'll give you that throughout the program. And it's on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dr. Bryson, let's start with a sort of breaking this down, the basics. What is genuine socialism, and how does it relate to communism? These are terms we hear thrown around, oftentimes inaccurately.
Well, socialism is an economic system. Communism is a conception. There are communist parties which pursue socialism, and communists, so-called, pursue a socialist economics. But communism itself is kind of like the view of the celestial world, of heaven for a Christian. communism is the ultimate objective. Marx talked about it in terms of that period of time when the socialist dictatorship of the proletariat would have overcome all the opposition, and the system would have been functioning well, and gradually the state could fade away, and people would work together to peacefully conquer the challenges of nature and have a better world. But that is way off in the future. In the meantime, what we have to do is control the economy. And so all of the aspects of contemporary socialism are the reality of what socialism is. Communism is a theory. And socialism consists of three things, briefly: the redistribution of income, tax the rich heavily and provide subsidies for the poor. Second, the state must own and manage all the production units or firms in the entire economy. Marx talked about the idea of the state owning the means of production. So you have nationalism in socialism. The state turns out to undertake a huge overreach. The state wants to determine every economic aspect and control every economic organization and every economic worker in the economy. So the overreach amounts to the fact that the government cannot possibly do all the things that individual citizens did when the economy was decentralized. Under a decentralized economy, every worker, every banker, every manager, every state, every local community has its own economic plan. The market, with its controls through competition, makes sure that all these plans get coordinated. And the role of the state then is merely to make sure that opportunists don't break the rules and dishonor contracts, etc. And they also have a role in ensuring that competition prevails, that certain powers don't gain monopoly strength to where they can violate the nice properties of markets. So the state has a role, but it's limited. And when the state tries to take over everything, it's simply swamped. The state cannot possibly do all the things that it wants to do. In what amounts, for example, should the honey produced in Dickinson, North Dakota, be produced? And where should it be shipped? And in every city, in every town, in every worker, trying to determine what the prices will be, what the wages will be, and how it will all function is simply impossible for a centralized government. We saw that when the Obamacare was introduced. It was totally messed up. We see under the current administration the regulation of railroads as a challenge that seems to be too big. But when you try to turn the whole economy over to a bureaucracy, it is an unmitigated disaster. Third, the implementation of state regulatory directives for business and industry is a perceived role under socialism for the state. The state acquires and maintains control over the functioning of businesses and, incidentally, the lives of citizens, the workers. This is a matter of instinctive power seeking and a preference for micromanagement wherever possible. So that's the nature of socialism, and it's simply a fantasy to believe that you can put everything into the hands of one group to manage everything in the economy.
The book is Socialism: Origins, Expansion, Decline, and Attempted Revival in the United States by Philip J. Bryson. That's B-R-Y-S-O-N. His website, BrysonKnowsSocialism.com, SocialismsIssuesRevealed.com, book at Amazon, PageTurner.us, Barnes & Noble, all of those, and links on our website. Doctor, what is a soft variant of socialism? We hear that term, soft variant. What exactly is that?
Well, I wrote a book called Socialism USA, and the idea there is that if you try to do all the things that socialism usually wants to do, it ends up being a hard situation. The hard variant of socialism is that the citizens lose their rights to make economic choices, where they're going to be trained, where, if they're going to be educated, where they're going to work, and so on. They lose those rights, and they lose civil liberties as well. They have to be careful about what they say, since you can't have free speech, since nobody can ridicule the plan or make people doubt it. So there is everything that you say against socialists or the socialist system is hate speech. And so you lose all sorts of rights. And the final thing that you lose is a prosperous economy. When the economy is taken over by the socialists, by the bureaucracy, we receive an economy of shortage. Productivity falls off, and there are a lot of problems that result. So a hard variant of socialism means that we end up with equality, but unfortunately it's an equality of poverty, as productivity and production fall off dramatically, and as civil liberties disappear. So that's a hard variant of socialism. My idea was, if you're going to have socialism, if we're going to live in a country where everybody says we've got to try this, then what we need to do is go for a soft variant of socialism, which keeps the government out of the business of running everything, but says we'll take care of the poor and get greater equality through a redistribution of income. Since the idea of income redistribution was originated years ago, it has become acceptable to all parties in the political spectrum. So let's go ahead and do that, because everybody accepts it. Everybody feels that we should help the poor. We should help those that have health problems or disadvantages or whatever in their circumstances. We should have a way to provide them assistance. Let's let that be our socialism. And once we're doing that, let's review the programs, the social programs, and see where the rich take advantage of them and opportunists take advantage of them, and the programs that are intended for the poor don't always reach the poor. Let's make sure that they reach the poor and that they are for the real, for the people who are in that situation, real.
Yes.
And who need the help.
Dr. Bryson mentioned another book, Socialism USA. He's the author of that book, as well as Socialism Revealed, Why Socialism Issues Have Never Permitted Success in a Real Economy, and the book we're talking about today, Socialism, Origins, Expansion, Decline, and the Attempt and Revival in the United States. You'll find information on all of those at his website, BrysonKnowsSocialism.com. Why don't critics of socialism explain why it doesn't work?
Well, in a way, your question is, well, let's put it this way. The people who don't explain that socialism doesn't work, those people are generally, they are generally people who are not critics. They are enthusiasts.
Yes.
There are critics of socialism, and you can find plenty of works by them. They're not always focused on the economics of socialism, but they are genuine criticisms. Since they're not focused on the economics, they miss a very important part of socialism's failure. But the enthusiasts tend to talk about the theoretical ideas and hopes. The theory's not very good. Karl Marx had many problems with his theories. In certain respects, he was a good theorist in the area of macroeconomics. He did pretty well. But in the area of microeconomics, or the area of the firm and the management of the firm and the exploitation of the worker and all that sort of thing, he missed the mark by a long way. And he's received lots and lots of criticism from professional economists through the years. But you're not going to find a lot of people who are advocates who know anything about the economics and the real problems of socialism.
You know, you've mentioned in theory, you've read in theory, you read these books, you studied these books, but you were on the ground in places where the theories were implemented and you've seen the real world consequences. Why does socialism fail?
Well, it fails because of the economic problems, the huge overreach of the government bureaucracy, and it fails because the system is not managed, even where there are people who have good ideas to reform it. They never could reform the Soviet economy. They tried that for years and years and years, and Gorbachev was the last to try, and he failed, and the system disappeared. Well, it disappeared, but now it's trying to reappear. And socialism is going to have to fail as long as you have the idea that people can hope for religion, hope for good outcomes, positive outcomes, a redistribution of incomes to help the poor, and all that sort of thing. But those are the theorists. The actual people who implement the economic ideas are often people who perceive that there is power to be had in a system which is based on power. In socialism, you talk about the dictatorship of the proletariat. Once you've had a successful revolution, or possibly even a ballot box victory for socialism, the socialists gain control, and they know that taking property away from all the owners of businesses, etc., will result in a lot of opposition and alienation. And the former capitalists, the former owners, will want their property back. You have to worry about the counter-revolution. And so you put very stringent measures in place to control the economy, to control the populace. And that set of measures says that you immediately lose free speech. You lose a free press if you have one. You lose those civil liberties that we have traditionally treasured in this country. The power brokers that see the nature of socialism and who gain control politically then ignore the theoreticians, the idealists, and all the good things about who believe all these good things about socialism. And they take it over and rule with a very stringent, austere hand. And they don't care much about what they do to people. They don't care if they cancel them. They don't care if they abuse them in the press or whatever. So those are some of the reasons that socialism failed. Particularly, I think, that the people that run socialism are different from the idealists and the theorists and the people of goodwill.
Time is going by so quickly. Our guest on the program is Philip Bryson, B-R-Y-S-O-N. This book is Socialism. How about the Chinese? Is the Chinese economic planning an exception to the general rule of failure? How does China fit into this concept?
China is an exceptional case. They adopted central planning and had Soviet advisors help them set up their system. And it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. And, of course, as long as Mao was in power, we had the disaster continuing. Then we had the Tiananmen Square, and Deng Xiaoping became the premier, and he was a practical man. He was harsh at Tiananmen Square, but he also saw the need for economic reform and started to introduce it, and brought the economy a long way. But they have these huge state-owned enterprises where millions of workers are employed. And if you reform, what you do is take those firms which produce garbage. They produce very poor quality products. They're not competitive. The workers are not working. Everything's just it's really a poor arrangement. So what you have to do is drop those firms, shut them down, and let enterprise go to work. But there have to be entrepreneurs for enterprise to go to work. And if you shut them down and you have millions of workers unemployed going from city to city looking for work, you have disaster socially. So they got their reform working somewhat, but then it bogged down, and they've not really been able to complete it. And now we hope that their exposure and their interaction with the world market would cause them gradually to adopt democratic and capitalistic market ideas. But that seemed to be progressing there decades back, but then it has all gone downhill. Yes. And the current Xi, the premier now, is reverting back to more hardline communist attitudes in a lot of things. And the economy is still on hold, waiting for more reforms. But it is a real problem.
Wish we had several hours to talk this topic. It's such a fascinating and comprehensive look at socialism. The author is Philip Bryson. His website, BrysonKnowsSocialism.com, SocialismsIssuesRevealed.com. I'll give you all of that. A couple minutes left here. I want to close talking about focusing on the United States here. Is socialism in America different from the traditional type that we hear so much about?
Well, socialism in America is still largely at a theoretical level. It's what the socialists believe in, and you can find it in their policy statements and in their platforms, their political platforms. But we don't really have socialism fully integrated into our economy. Hopefully we will not have. It's you know, basically we're now looking at what they want, not what we have.
Yes. It's such a fascinating topic, and in great detail with all of the years of research by our guest on the program, Philip Bryson. This book, one of three on socialism. This one is Socialism, Origins, Expansion, Decline, and the Attempted Revival in the United States. Bryson is B-R-Y-S-O-N. If you're Googling, the website is BrysonKnowsSocialism.com. Also, SocialismsIssuesRevealed.com. A lot of great information there, as well as information and how you can order the book. Book available through PageTurner.us, who arranged our conversation today, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Dr. Bryson, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Boy, we could have used a lot more time to hear of your experiences and your firsthand knowledge of socialism and get a better understanding of what it is we hear thrown around every day in the news media and in private conversations. Thank you for joining us on the program. Hopefully we can do this again.
Thank you, Rick. It was a pleasure.
Philip Bryson, our guest, the book Socialism, Origins, Expansion, Decline, and the Attempted Revival in the United States. Book available at BrysonKnowsSocialism.com, all of the usual places, and link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. That's the program you're listening to, and we continue on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.